ask you that you would help us to lay our lives down and get ready, be prepared to receive your word. Lord, to desire your presence and just put everything else out of our way right now. God, we invite you to quicken your word and your lesson, and we just want you, Lord. We just want you, and we can't even want you unless you make us want you. So we're depending on you this morning to draw us into your presence. We just thank you, and we hand it over to you, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to talk today about the goal and the walk in our life. So the first step in our life is to find out what is the real goal of our life. Where are we headed? Where are we going? You know, because without vision, people perish. So we need to actually have a goal before us. What is my life about? What do I really want out of life? And hopefully, the goal is to know God. It's not what we do for God. It's not even what he's doing through us all the time. But salvation in John 17:3 said, "And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." To be aware of God, to get intimately inside of his heart, inside of his head. One of the worship songs out of Morningstar, I got a cold, so I'm going to lose my voice a lot. One of the Morningstar worship songs says, "Finger on the pulse of God." I love that thought, getting so close to God that you actually feel his heartbeat. You know his thoughts. You know what he's up to. You know where he's going. But this relationship with God is eternal life. It's not just praying to say a prayer to escape hell, get forgiven for our sin. Excuse me. But it's actually to know God. To know God also reveals who you really are. So we are created in the image of God, a certain aspect of God, and we were put here by God with a purpose. Until we actually walk into the purpose of who we are and what we're here for, we're miserable. Everything else in life doesn't satisfy. So 1 John 3:2 said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So in order to know yourself, you have to get to know God. So a lot of people prior to getting saved, coming, being born again, they go through life with this emptiness inside of, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? Why is my life like this? And why am I never happy? Everything, you know, when you want to get things and then you get them and you're still not happy. Sometimes God just gives you what you want so you can find out there's no joy in it. You know, I thought I wanted a horse. I got a horse. It was a big pain in the neck. Had to go out there. I didn't have time. Had to clean his hoofs, get briars out of his mane and his tail. And then he didn't even like me. You know, I had to chase him in circles to get on him. And then he ran, and I couldn't control him because I didn't know anything about horses. I hated having a horse, so I got rid of the horse. I thought I wanted a swimming pool. Major expense, major work. I don't want a swimming pool anymore. I actually did not want to have to get undressed, get wet, rewash my hair, I mean, all the work of taking that little 20-minute swim, I don't want a swimming pool anymore. Sometimes we get what we want in order to get over. We have to find out these things don't satisfy. They don't make you happy. I just read something on the internet, like, if you were told that you've only got a week to live, you're about to die. And it had things like, what are you going to hang on to, your college degree? Are you going to hang on to your possessions? See how much money you can stuff in the casket. You know, if you lived as if you only had a week to live, what would be the focus of your life? How important would all these issues be that we worry about every day? So we need to find out, what are we really about? I mean, we're talking about billions of years of existence, not just 60, 70, 80, 90 that are here. What really matters? Who are we in eternity? What is our purpose? What are we created to do? And when we find that, then we're really happy. But the only way to find it is to get to know God. Because as we behold him, we are transformed. It's all the things going on in our life are about our transformation. They're about us becoming who we're really created to be. If we looked at our life that way, we would accept things better. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, I'm sorry, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal God. I love this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. I have it printed. It's on my wall at home, and I pray it for me, and I pray it for this church. I pray it frequently. We prayed it last night here at prayer meeting. Ephesians 3, when Paul prays for God's people, this is what he prays. And this is what I pray for us this morning. I pray for you that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, which passes understanding knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So our goal for us is to know God intimately, to get to know how he thinks, know how he feels, know what he's up to, know what he wants, know what hurts him, know the power of God, the passion of God, to really walk with him in a way to get to know him. Because when we get to know him, we get to know who we are. And the way that you'll get to know him will reveal who you are and what your real purpose in life is. And there is no joy without knowing that. You are supposed to walk in a oneness with him, releasing God. So on God's part, it's his glory. He gets all the glory. On your part, you get the transformation. You get to become who you really are, finding true joy, true happiness. In order to prepare to walk with God, because we're talking about the goal of our life and how to walk in a way that we're heading toward that goal. How do we walk every day in our life to reach that goal of God's glory and our transformation? How do we do that? We have to start with a true confession where we're at all the time, every day, all day long, confessing where we're really at. We have to remove the barriers. I really hate it when I can't sense his presence. I can tell everybody else. Well, that's when you live by faith. That's true. There's those times where he's not speaking and we're living by faith and we just function by what we've learned in God. But when it's happening to me, I start questioning, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? And sometimes there is something wrong. There is a barrier. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if there is something consciously that I'm doing or holding on to, even an attitude, then I'm blocking God from my life. When God is blocked from our life, we walk in the flesh. And when we walk in the flesh, we walk in selfishness and pride and fear and doubt, and everything is overwhelming and hard, because that's not how we're created to live. We are created in the image of God, and he is completely about giving and loving and sharing and forgiving and power and faith and confidence and no fear. So if that is where we're created like, that's how we should be able to live. But we can only do it when we walk in oneness with him. So if we block that oneness, we revert to the flesh. And that is not a fun place to live. So life is not really about what we're doing or what we're going through. It's about how we get there. The walk is about how we get there. Sometimes we have to walk through harder things for longer times because we haven't depended on God and we haven't learned that lesson that particular thing is supposed to be working in our transformation. So we get stuck in it, and we stay stuck in it for so long. What really matters in everything that I encounter is, how does God get the glory out of it? How do I get the transformation out of it? Because they're all just tools. They're all just things. They're all just circumstances that are for his glory and for our transformation. So that's the question when we come up against something. Not, why me, God? and why is this happening to me, and why isn't it happening to them, and I can't stand my life, and I'm so miserable, or I'm scared. But how can God get the glory? How can this thing transform me? We can't do it, but if we walk with Him, He will do it. Now, in the walk, I was real excited yesterday because my son, James, he likes to be called James, is getting ready to preach again, and I'm excited about that. And he called me up and he asked me about something that was in one of my notes nearly a year ago. I had to go through journals, and I journal every day, and I have for 35, 40 years. So I have boxes full of journals. So when you ask me, you remember that message about? I go, no. Well, what was the scripture you used? I wouldn't have a clue, except that God taught me long ago to index every journal. So I index the subject and the date. So I title them and I date them. So when I remember Jim was here about a year ago, and he brought a visiting lady who preached for us, and her name was Shari Stevens. So I just went on the website. Actually, I asked DBJ to go on the website, find her message, and tell me the date. Then all I had to do was go through the covers of the journals, find that date, and look through it until I found what I had said that day she came. So there's these journals, when God has you taking notes and He's giving you revelation and things, you need to keep them in journals. Have the date of the journal. This was from January 1 to February 1 of 2005. Then you open the inside cover, date, subject, date, subject, date, subject. Sometimes I go out here and put vision, dream, message. I check it if it's a message I already gave. Sometimes it's one I haven't given yet, and I circle it because I'm going to have to come back to that. There's a reason He gave me that, and I didn't give it out yet. So it's like keeping your own little library of the revelations God gives you. So I know some of you, most of you, all four of you, are called to be ministers, and you need to hang on to what God gives you in a way you can find it and put your hands on it. But what else I found, besides what my son was looking for, I found a vision that I had with God, and I'm going to share that with you because I think that it might help you in your life and in your walk, in achieving your goal of walking with God and finding your own transformation and finding out who you are. So God, Jesus called me, and He said, I want you to walk with me into the Garden of Acts. So I'm not talking about the book of Acts. I'm talking about a Garden of Acts. So we sat on a rock, and God, Jesus swept His hands across the sky, and it became like a movie screen. So we went to the movies of my life, and I saw myself running through life. I ran, and I stumbled, and I got up, and I ran, and I stumbled, and I got up, and I am an accomplisher. I am a push hard, get it done, work. You know, I just go crazy on work when I get started. And that's what I was, just running, falling, running, falling, running. I always got up. I always got up and started over. And Jesus just calmly smiled. And I love it when He smiles. He said, you try so very hard. You always get up and try again. And I acknowledge your efforts and your desire to serve me. But you do make it so hard on yourself. If you would just slow down when you fall, pray while you're down there, then you'd rise back up in power. And I'm going to pause there because I had a vision about Hannah this morning. You were pulling a baby stroller backwards, and a wheel was falling off. So you're trying to pull the stroller with the baby in it backwards, tilted on the wheels. And Jesus said, you know, you're just making this so hard. It doesn't have to be this hard. I had other visions too. They haven't come back to my mind yet, but they will. So He said, you could rise up in strength and wisdom. Then I saw these barriers that were tripping me like logs. There were all these logs on my path of life. They caused me to stumble. And then I realized the Lord put them there on purpose. He actually caused me to trip and fall. He was trying to stop me and get my attention to draw into Him. I felt really foolish for trying and running and falling and not just waiting. Slow down and wait. You know, you can get so much done in slow motion. The Holy Spirit, when He comes on you, it's like He moves so slow, but every move is so precise, so on purpose, so directed, and so powerful. and he gets more done in a second than I can in a day. It's purposeful action. So Jesus smiled again, and then he guided my eyes back up to the video. I was walking slower, very careful, very confident. I would only take a few steps, then I would stop and pray. I didn't get down on my knees. I just spoke to him because he was walking with me. We were in a continual communication, and it was very peaceful. Then I saw a huge snake in front of us. I just looked at Jesus. Instead of running, instead of fear, I just looked at Jesus. And he stepped forward, and he picked it up, and he threw it off to the left, and it flew so far away I couldn't even see where it landed. We both just smiled and kept walking. Now, a huge snake is a scary thing. I just saw a picture of a 25-foot snake that somebody keeps as a pet. Now, I know that sounds stupid, but I used to raise snakes. I owned a pet shop, Peculiar Pets. I had 18 snakes in my living room in glass cages. I bought a baby python, and I raised it to 14 foot long. Its head was as big as two hands put together, and it weighed 50 pounds. That's a scary thing when they're mad at you. And they are not affectionate. They are not. They're not at all affectionate. You can tame them because they learn that it does them no good to bite you and you can become boss. But they're not affectionate. But a snake is a scary thing, especially one big enough to eat you. And this snake on the front of my path was huge. That's a scary thing. So what are we afraid of in our life? And what do we do when that fear strikes us? Do we turn and run? Do we cry? Do we panic? Or do you just simply look at Jesus and say, hey, you know, what are we going to do about this snake? I had a dream the other night. And I was, oh no, it was Sunday morning. I was really not happy because I was trying to soak. I'm laying there. I give God 2 hours of soaking time. And I fell asleep and had a nightmare. I went, God, I'm searching for you. And I have a nightmare in my soaking time. Well, my nightmare was that I was shopping with Janai and Dudley. And we went into a little restaurant. And I fell asleep in the restaurant. And when I woke up, they were gone. They had left me. Well, I have a fear of abandonment, but I didn't realize how extreme that was. Like when I shop with my daughters, if they start wandering, I quit shopping. I just follow them because I have this fear of being left somewhere. I've had dreams where I'm in my car and I'm in a street and I don't know what town I'm in. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how to get home and I don't know anybody in town. And it's like I'm in the midst of strangers and I'm alone and that scares me to death, you know. But in this dream the other morning, when I woke up in the restaurant and found out they were gone, that's not a big deal. I mean, anybody with any common sense would say, so what? You know, go get in your car and go home. But I panicked. I didn't pray in this dream. I panicked. I cried. I was filled with fear. I went, where did they go? Why did they leave me? Where are they? I was just panicking, and I grabbed my phone, and I was so panicky. I'm trying to hit buttons, and I'm getting football games, and I'm getting news reports, and I'm going, I want to call Janaya. Where is her number? And I'm trying to hit the buttons, and I couldn't find her number. I was just falling apart. And when I woke up, I was so mad at myself, because when we get scared and we fall apart, then we get mad at ourselves. We go into depression and anger. And why am I acting like this? You know, why didn't I pray in my dream? Lest I could control my dream. Why didn't I just go and pray and ask God to help me? I don't like it when I act that way. Then you get angry and you get depressed. And then God said, you have an abandonment issue. And I'm warning you in your dream, there's things coming in your life that are going to be like big snakes. They'll scare you. And they'll overpower you. The demons will overpower you with fear and panic. And you won't even be able to pray. And it's really not that big of a deal. If you just look at Jesus, train yourself to just look at Jesus. What do we do with this? He can take care of it. And you know what? Even if you've got to walk on the snake to cover the path to get through, it'll be okay. It'll be okay because he's with you and he's bigger than the snake. So anything he takes us through, anything we have to face, he's bigger than that. If we slow down and walk with him and don't run through our life, with our own purposes, with our own fears and issues. So he threw the snake away. We both smiled and we kept walking. Then there was a fire. And we were walking and this huge fire is everywhere in front of us. I just looked at the Lord. He took my hand and smiled. And we walked through the fire without any harm to us. And in the midst of the fire, I heard people screaming And I knew they were in agony, but I did not feel it on me. So there's things coming in our life that will torture other people, but it doesn't have to torture us if we're finding God in it, releasing His glory, because He is taking charge and we are being transformed. We're learning to just live inside of Him. I kind of felt like I actually moved right inside of Him and walked through it inside of Him. We came out of the fire into a violent wind. Winds were twisting in every direction. Things and people were blowing around, and we just calmly went through the storm. Even when everything around you falls apart, everything is in confusion, and you don't know why this is happening. Why? If God said me to do this, and now it's all falling apart, why? You don't need to know why, because it doesn't matter. Every log, every snake, every fire, every wind, every person, every situation, it's all part of your transformation. It's all part of His glory. It's all part of preparing you to become who you were created to be. It's changing you into somebody who can stand in any circumstance. It's changing you into somebody who can forgive and love and conquer. It's changing you into the image of God as you behold Him in the search in any circumstance. Then the path was dark, very dark. I couldn't see anything, but I felt His hand holding mine, so I had no fear. I knew that He would guide me because of prior experiences. Suddenly there was a light, a very bright light, even full glory. And we were in the clouds, and glory was spectacular. I didn't know how. I didn't know if I was alive, if I was in heaven, or if I was in spirit. I couldn't even think of myself at all. I was just wrapped up in the full glory of God. And God said, "You are not in heaven. You are on the earth, and the glory has come to the church. This is where I'm taking you. You are standing in the outpouring of God on earth, and I have led you here. See the path that led us here. You will walk this path with me, and you will stand in my glory." I sensed that people were here too, maybe falling in weakness. I've been in a touch of God's glory in other moves of God. I just can't even believe it's been 15 or 20 years since the Toronto move. But when I first started into that move of God, and God's presence would come in the room, and you just couldn't help it. You just melted, and you fell to the floor. You couldn't help but melt. But after a while, as God worked in you and He taught you how to stand with Him, then you could stand in that same amount of God's presence while new people were falling down in weakness. It's like you acquire an ability to stand closer to Him and be able to minister to others being brought in. So this glory that is coming, there's people that have to walk the path that they're walking to learn to stand with God in these different places and different ways. So when this glory comes, we're ready. Then other people appeared, and I was surrounded with others who stood in the glory too. So this was a vision of what God is going to do. His glory is going to cover the earth. Those who are walking with purpose right now of knowing God, experiencing God, allowing God, bringing glory to God, accepting what He does in my life as, it doesn't matter. You know, really nothing matters. What I have, don't have, what happens to me, doesn't happen to me in this flesh, doesn't make any difference except for how it draws me closer to God, how it transforms me. It's not, anytime we get into the selfishness, what about me? What about what I need? What about how I feel? We are in an evil spirit. We aren't created to be self-focused, selfish. We're not created for our own pleasure. The only way we get pleasure is when we love. When we give out, we get thrilled because we're just like God. So when we're giving it all to somebody else, we get the blessing. That's what thrills God's heart, is loving, giving, healing, forgiving, and doing for others. Now we can try to do it in the flesh and we get pride. Well, this is what I do, and this is how I handle it, and I'm just nice to everybody, and I just teach, and I give my money, and let me tell you what I do. All we get is pride and misery. But when we hook up in the oneness with God, like John 17, my favorite chapter, oneness with Him. When we hook up in the oneness with Him, He's doing it in us, and we find out that's really what I want to be. That's who I want to be. That's where I find freedom. That's where I find joy, is when I let God live in me. His glory, my transformation. God said, these are your companions. They are the many, yet they are the few. They each came here the same way you did. Each one had to walk hand in hand through the path with me. Now you will join in unity and be my ministers in the time of glory. In the time of glory. My mind was filled with questions that didn't get answered that day. They didn't get answered that day. But just before this page, I had prayed some things that I forgot about. I prayed for God to do things in my life to change me. And the events of my life in the next year that I did not like were the answers to that prayer. They were the things that began to change things in me that I couldn't change. That was the beginning of walking that path. He didn't say we won't trip over those logs. He said, when you do, just go into prayer. Just go into prayer. Go into the dependency on Him. That's where we need to go when we trip and fall. So there's the walk, and there's the goal. If the goal of your walk, of your life, is really to know God for all eternity, to grow in Him, to release His glory, to be able to be transformed into His image, if that is the goal of your life, then there's going to be logs and snakes and fires and winds, and they just are for you. They're for you. And all the little things we do all day, every day. I'm really busy right now, and in busyness, it's so easy to get caught up in your busyness and not think about God for hours, you know, because I got to get this done, and oh, look at this, and we're just drawn into the thing we're doing. And I told him when I laid down last night, because we had an awesome prayer meeting last night, really awesome, and I went home and I laid down and I said, God, I don't want to think about that wedding cake I'm making. I don't want to think about the flowers. I don't want to think about boxes that came in to put away. I don't want to think about finances or problems, and I don't want to think about the stuff I'm supposed to be doing for that phone app game. I should be on the computer doing that, and I'm full of all these things that are in my life. I want to go to sleep and dream about you. And he said, you're not in that kind of dream season right now. You're in a season of busyness, extreme busyness I have put in your life on purpose, and I want you to practice walking with me in the midst of that busyness. You practiced it when life was just normal, but I keep turning up the pressures to make you learn more careful walking in the midst of busyness. He said, you're going to dream all these things because that's what I've put you in right now, but I want to lead you and be with you in all these things because it's part of your training. I don't even know what it is. I couldn't call it logs or fires or any of those things. I'm not wounded or hurt. I'm tired, but I don't know what you could call it that he's put in my path right now. I bet it's the winds, like everything blowing in every direction. It must be the winds, because there's so much going on in so many ways. Yeah, it must be in the winds. That's pretty cool. Identifying it helps us. Are we going to just go with every wind, or are we just going to rest in Jesus and take our time and don't let the wind overpower us? So that's the word today, and I just invite you to invite God. I invite you to invite God. I want to walk that path. I want to walk it with you. I want my transformation. God, identify what spirits have strongholds on me, because I don't want them. Whether it's pride, selfishness, self-pity, hopelessness, anger, fear, all these things are spirits. They attach to us like little leeches. And God will take them off if we want Him to, if we invite Him to, and if we cooperate with Him while He's doing it. So ask Him to identify them. It's not fun when He identifies those spirits in us. It's not fun when you begin to recognize what spirit you're living in. It's not fun. It's not fun while you're getting delivered, because there's embarrassment, there's shame, there's helplessness. But He can do it. And He will do it. And we finally get on the other side of Him, where we get conquer one of those spirits and say, ha, you can't trick me anymore, because now I recognize your methods and I've overcome you. And now you can't hold on to my life like that anymore. So there's victory And more victories you get, the more you know you can get. I think the real key, though, is to realize selfishness, the self-protection, the pride and the fear, these things we've grown up with our whole life thinking they protect us, thinking they're for us, when they're really our enemies. So we need to realize those things will never make us happy. We give in to them and they make us more miserable. We need to, with Jesus, conquer these spirits. Just thank you, Lord. We invite you, Lord. We want to walk this path in your glory, for our transformation. We love you and we invite you. Do whatever it takes. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.